In a scripture, it talks about how Paul, whenever he'd go on his missionary journeys, he would come back to basically his home church and report. And so that's really kind of what we're doing tonight. Some of you, most of you know who we are, but I am Wade, and this is Deanne. We have three kids. You can see up there our three kids. Most of you know them too, Drew, Michelle, and Nathan, and all that's going on in their lives. They're together right now over this holiday weekend, so we just praise the Lord they're able to do that. That didn't happen so often anymore. But it's just good to be here with you. And as we live in Johannesburg, South Africa, and serving the Lord all over Sub-Saharan Africa, which is everything from the Sahara Desert south. So 40-something different countries, I think. So it's a lot of different places. And we'll tell you more about that tonight.
Yeah, I know a few of you a little bit. Some of you, a lot of bit. Let me read to you from Psalms 113. It says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord from this time forth and forever. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and on earth." That just fills me up when, I mean, that question, who is like our God? And of course the answer is nobody. But as you travel around, as we travel around, we see the vast variety of what God has created in this world. And he didn't shy away from being creative. And when we see the continent of Africa, and we've had the opportunity to travel quite a bit across Africa and see the vast variety just on one continent. And it's amazing to see what God has done. So I want to start out tonight just by asking you about Africa. When I say the word Africa, what comes to your mind? Now, this is interactive, so you talk. What comes to mind? Sorry?
Serengeti,
yeah. What else? What comes to your mind when I say Africa?
Interesting animals.
Usually animals are the first thing that people think about. Nothing else?
No water.
Dry deserts, sure. All right. Well, I'm going to go ahead on the next slide and show you a video, and I want you to look for things that might surprise you. Okay? So Taylor's going to play it. See if there's anything that surprises you. Turn it way up. There you go. See anything that surprised you, or nothing?
What was
it? More water. Yeah. Well, there's dry. There is what was described as the dry desert, like the picture. But there's also places with lots and lots of water too. It's really a diverse continent. Anybody see anything else that you never would have thought of?
Well, that's not in this video.
They do, though.
Yeah, before we got cell phones ourselves, we were in the country of Zambia at the time, and our Zambian friends were walking around with their cell phones, and we decided, okay, maybe it's not just a luxury item. We will get one, and it turned into a ministry tool, believe it or not. Anybody else? Somebody else was talking. What did you notice? Yeah.
Traffic jams, yeah.
Yeah. What did you, Ms. Sharon? The dancing.
That's right.
Yeah, that was a church service,
by the way. We're going to teach y'all how to worship, all right?
So, yeah. So just when you think, you know, you've got Africa figured out, you see the variety in this kind of video, and you see, okay, well, maybe I don't, you know, maybe there's things I haven't realized.
Yeah, amen. All right. Africa is a huge place. And whenever, if I ask you, how big do you think Africa is? Do you think it's bigger than the United States? Yeah, okay, good. I've had some say, no way. Nothing's bigger than the United States. Now, if you're from Texas especially, Noel. But, look at this picture here. There you've got China, the United States, India, and half of Europe or more. That can fit in the borders of Africa. So it's a huge, huge place. From Monroe, Louisiana to Los Angeles, 1,700 plus miles. From the very southern tip, which is Cape Town, South Africa, to Cairo, Egypt, it's over 6,000 miles. So it's a huge place, huge continent. And it's in that place, it's a lot of unreached people groups. And a lot of times it's just because it's hard to get to the people. Sometimes they're receptive. Once we're able to get there, we find people that are hungry for the gospel, but it's just hard to get there. And then to get there, it's hard to stay. It's hard to live in a lot of those conditions because sometimes it is very hot and very dry. Sometimes, though, we've had flooding as well. So just like here in America, we go through the different cycles in weather. It happens in Africa as well. So it is. It's just a huge place. As you can see.
Well, this year we will mark our 25 years in Africa, and we're kind of surprised. I mean, yeah, it's been a long time, and we went with two kids and came back with three, and there are not there anymore, you know. It was really strange when we went back for the first time without any children. But God has seen us through 25 years. You can see up there, we've had a variety of changes, not as many as some people, but for 14 years we were in Zambia. You guys followed us the whole time, and were faithful prayer partners with us, and came. Some of you came over there on a mission trip and got to see it firsthand and taste it firsthand and do some of that dancing and worship services and just see what it means to for a village life, what that means, and worshiping and just what it means to be in a place like Bush Africa. But then God called us after 14 years to go to South Africa, and Wade was asked to be in a leadership role. And since we moved to South Africa, those roles have shifted and moved around and all. And so we've been there now, believe it or not, about 11 years. And currently, Wade is the training associate for all of Sub-Saharan Africa, and I work with apprentices.
And let me just tell you a little bit about what that means, and you can see there. I provide oversight to train our missionaries. So all of our missionaries, 400 plus of them, I make sure that they're equipped to do their jobs. Sometimes I do the training, sometimes I don't. In June, I went back for 2 weeks. We had a church planting training. If you were here on the wonderful Wednesday that I shared, it may not have been as wonderful as some of the others that night, but I talked about some of the training that we do, and specifically that the Father's Heart and Four Fields training, which is a process on how to plant churches. Apprenticeship, I oversee that as well, and Deanne is our apprentice coordinator. Apprentices, she'll tell you about that, but it's all of our first-term missionaries. They go for their first 3 to 4 years. We provide some really hands-on oversight about that. Mentoring, you know, young people these days, they like to be mentored. They like side-by-side, and so we provide mentoring and train people how to be good mentors. Language acquisition, culture acquisition, all those types of things, I make sure it happens. Ethno-arts and orality, what that's talking about is, like you saw some of the music, you saw the musical instruments, I'd like to see Jordan with some of those drumsticks. Do you see that? That went and had that stick. Yeah, that would be nice. But those types of things, how do you use that for the glory of God? And so we have a person that has got his master's degree in ethnomusicology, which is music, the study of music in ethnic groups. So basically, and it's really intriguing. Come talk to me about it. I won't bore you with it now. But also just training our African partners. I also oversee that as well. As I mentioned, church planting, our SBC partner training as well. So that's next week. I'm going to Richmond to meet our new personnel to do some training for 2 days. Then I'm meeting with the Southern Baptist Convention of Virginia, and those churches are going to come together, and we're going to be training them on a Friday night and Saturday in Virginia. And it's our SBC churches there that are aligned with us. And so they're partnering with Sub-Saharan Africa, so I'm going to be doing some training with them on how to really be good partners and how to engage our peoples over in Africa. Because, you know, we have the same message, as I said this morning, the same seed, but sometimes our methodology is different. And so there are some pitfalls we try to help people see so they don't fall into them. So that's just some of the things I do. And then Deanne takes care of me in so many other ways. So anyway, come talk to me and we can talk more about what all I do.
I'll tell you just a little bit. Wade pretty much summed it up. What I do as far as apprentices, when we went back the last time, Wade asked me to take over that part of the training when new personnel come for long-term jobs to become career missionaries. They come as apprentices. And so now we have a specific 3-year program that wherever they go, I partner them with a mentor that's on the ground where they go. So they have a mentor who's been there longer than they have, who knows a little bit more and can connect them not only with the ways and culture that they know, but to connect these new missionaries with national people who maybe are already believers or maybe are not, but they are a connector also for the new person to get out and to begin to learn from African people. So I'll sit up when they are appointed as apprentice missionaries. I contact them and say, okay, when you come, here's your mentor and here's the program, and I'm going to walk with you through it month by month. As you have specific needs or questions, you contact me, I'll be contacting you. And so I get to follow their first 3 years on the field. That's a stressful time. And it's a wonderful time because they're excited about what God has called them to do. And I have the joy and the task of giving them every opportunity to be successful in what God's called them to do. And that includes language learning, culture learning, learning to be a team, and all of that. So that's pretty much what I do. And for each one of those missionaries that come out, they have a particular focus. It may be a particular people group, or it may be a city that they are looking for, a segment in a large city that is their focus. And so, you know, sometimes it's surprising who the target group is of our new missionaries, because you might not think those are African people. So we, you know, our focus sometimes is shifting on who is lost, who is reached, and who is there even that we've just been ignoring. So if I were to ask you, what kind of, I'm not going to ask you, but if I said, what does an African look like? We all have a certain picture in our mind, don't we? Now, I'm going to show you, on the next slide is a video, and I want you to see if you think there are some that you would say don't fit, okay? Go ahead and play that, Taylor. Okay, do you think you found the ones and were able to pick out the ones that don't fit? Well, the truth of the matter is every one of them fit on African continent.
That was a trick question.
Yeah, it was tricky. But that shows you there are people that we may have been ignoring who really need to be reached. And sometimes when they leave their original ethnic home or the homeland of their ancestors and their grandparents and all, they come to a new place. It's easier to reach them. And so that's what we try to do.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, there is a lot of diversity. As you saw the pictures, and you could even probably tell, okay, that's from different religions as well, some of those pictures, some of the markings and all that. And there is. There's just a lot of diversity among the people and the religions that are there. And so if we go to the next one there, you can see animism is there, Hinduism, Islam, Christianity is all are found in Africa. Also, just there is secularism that's there. Just like here in America, a lot of people have no place for God in their lives. It's there. And mainly in some of the urban areas, there are people in Johannesburg. There are some areas that's the wealthiest areas in Africa. People driving, you know, Mercedes, oh, that's commonplace. It's, you know, Bugattis and Maseratis and all these, you know, cars that I can't even pronounce their names. But those types of things, that's the kind of communities. A lot of those people, they don't need God. And they think it's even silly to believe in God. So you've got that type. You know, the animism, let me just talk about that. Hinduism, we study that some. Islam, Christianity, hopefully we understand that. But animism, that's really the Africa traditional religion. In Africa, people, they worship their ancestors. They believe in witchcraft. Everything has a purpose. And there is God created, and then he just kind of, it's like he wound up the clock and left, and it's just kind of winding down. God is not personal at all. But then people on earth, but then they believe when people die, their ancestors remain. and their spirits remain, and they are influencing people's lives. So they believe that they have to pay homage. They worship their ancestors, and they think if something bad happens, if the crops fail, if somebody gets sick, if there's death, whatever bad happens, it's because the ancestors are angry. Or it could be because there's witchcraft. Somebody, a witch, has put a curse on them. So if I'm mad at Ray, which happens, I know y'all are surprised that anybody would be mad. But anyway, but if I am, then what happens is you go to the witch doctor and you put a curse on that person. So, and then that kind of thing happens, and people are afraid. So they think, if something, I'm getting sick. Oh no, somebody has cursed me. So that's animism. They live in fear. It is a life of fear. And so what do you think we do when it comes to Scripture? There's some gospel stories we'll share with people. We'll tell them about the demoniac and how Jesus has power over the demons. And we talk about how Jesus has power over the storms, over all of nature, how he is all powerful. He has power over everything. So you trust Jesus, he conquers all of this other. He is the victor over all of that. And that really helps people, and they can overcome their fear and putting trust in Jesus. So that's just some of the things that are there. The Christianity, you can look at statistics and you say, man, a lot of Africa is reached. But it's just really, the Christianity that's there is a very syncretistic Christianity. That means they take some of their cultural beliefs and some of the Bible, and they just mash it up together. And that's a huge problem. In South Africa, the country of South Africa where we live, one-third of the population are part of the Africa Independent or Africa Indigenous Church. If you ask them, say, are you a Christian? The vast majority of them say, oh, yes. But then you ask, okay, what does that mean? Do you still offer sacrifice to your ancestors? Well, yes, of course. Do you believe in Jesus? Well, you know, our God is a different one. Some of them, there's a guy that died in 1920s. His name was Shembe, and he is their savior for a whole group, millions of people. And they have signs and placards and it says, Shembe is the way. So what do you think I do whenever I hear that? John 14:6. Think Jesus. The Bible says Jesus is the way. What's up with that? So you know, a lot of ways we can, if you find out and you know culture and you know what they believe, then you have ways and avenues to share the gospel. The same kind of principle can apply right here as well. So the Christianity, so many times it is a false Christianity, and people think they're okay, and yet they are lost, bound for hell. And so that's why we do what we do.
And as Wade described, a few of the major religions up there, there are a load of smaller ones that are offshoots of these or of their own making. And so we find that the way we did things in Zambia often does not work in an urban setting or in places where it's not purely a tribal animistic setting. So what we do is we as in the IMB as a whole, we begin to realize we have to really look inside ourselves. God created each of us, me and you and all of you, uniquely, right? I mean, you're not the same as the person beside you. God has gifted you with special abilities that are just innate. Then also you have learned skills that you've gone to school to learn, or you've just studied yourself. And over the years and through life, you've had experiences that have taught you things that can be valuable to other people. And so on the field, we've had to get more creative, not just us, but everybody. What kind of jobs do we need, job requests do we need to put in so that we get that person who fits with the skills and the interests that can enter this Muslim setting as something else other than an evangelist who won't just go up with their Bible and just, you know, get killed?
but have an opportunity to talk to them. And so that's the way we connect things. And you can see this is what I've been doing this past 3.5 years or so that we've been, well, it wasn't that long. But anyway, this past term, we moved to the other side of Johannesburg, about 40, 45 minutes away from where we did before. And when my ministry, local ministry, is to work in an English center, because what I like and one of my interests is English, studying English, the grammar stuff, not the stories, but I like to break down and analyze language. I like that kind of stuff. So I like going down to the English Center where our company, or our organization, has a team focusing primarily to reach a Muslim people group. And it's right where all of them live. You know, they all live in this little downtown area, and we have a little room there smack dab in the middle of all of them. And so I have the opportunity to go down and spend maybe 3 days a week teaching them English skills, because it's women. I work with women. We have a chance to meet in this setting 40 to 50 of them. The team does maybe 5 days a week. How in the world without this type of thing could we have that opportunity? You tell me. I think God has called us to be creative so that we can be face to face with lostness. And it is not always comfortable, but it's what God's called us to do. And whether you're here, whether you're over somewhere else, God calls us to share what a big and great God He is, and that He loves everybody. And so that's what I try to do. It's amazing how many barriers come down when they can tell, I do love them because my Father in heaven loves them. And it gives a chance for those opportunities for me to be in their life outside of the classroom and to share with them.
That's right. Yeah, there are a lot of different ministry types. If you see there, I do training, and I'll meet local ministry. I preach a lot, and then I have a couple of discipleship groups in Soweto, which is a huge township. It was back in the apartheid era. That's where they put all the black people in that area, and that's where they had to live. But it's not the safest place in the world, but I'll go in there. There's sports ministry. There's sewing. There was one guy that went over, he's a chef and a baker. He went over and taught people how to cook and how to bake so that they could have a job, so they could become and bake goods and that type of thing. The sewing as well, Deanne has met with people trying to help them to do that so they can make a living. You see where children are receiving food. A lot of people are hungry, a lot of starvation, a lot of things like that. And so there's those types of needs and opportunities. Dan mentioned that English is second language, computer skills, so all types of things, ways that we can get our foot in the door and have an opportunity to be able to minister to people in the name of Jesus, to show the love of Christ. Just like here recently, one of the Sunday school classes or a group, you know, went downtown and was able to share a meal with those that are homeless, all because of Jesus and being able to share with them. If you just go up to them and say, let me tell you about Jesus, you know, a lot of times they can't hear you because their stomachs are rumbling so loudly out of hunger. So in that way, we do that, and then we have an opportunity because people say, why are you doing this? And Deanne's had that opportunity, and I have as well. So those are different things, and there's a question for all of us. You know, how could God use your interests and abilities to connect with others who need to hear about Jesus? Right here in your community, right here in this parish, each and every one of us have gifts and opportunities where God can use us. So, you know, people say, well, I can't do this or I can't do that. Well, maybe not, but you have something that you can offer in service to the Lord. And so I just want to encourage you in that you would do that.
And another question you often ask, or a response to that, is I'm just too busy. And so the question would be, what do I need to stop doing? so I can do whatever God wants me to do. And I'm not trying to lay a guilt trip on you. That is a question we all have to ask ourselves. And so it's just the way it is. I think the last thing we would want to share is more of a particular ministry. I'm going to show you a little video that maybe we'll share in a way that we have used in the English Center with these Muslim women, with people who use henna, like as these, they're temporary tattoos. They are not using needles or ink, but they are.
It's a dye.
It's a dye that fades away. And I want you to listen to this lady who came up with some designs that share God's word with people, and then I'll tell a little more about it.
She said, "Mina, I don't want you to tell these stories in front of my neighbors because they won't be happy with me." And she was afraid it would hurt her business because she is an artist and a hairdresser. I use henna as a way to illustrate and tell Bible stories. So when I go and visit ladies, I'll offer to do henna for them. And then after I've done the henna, then I tell them a story that goes with the design I'm drawing on their hand. So during that time of starting, we really felt that God's vision for this project was that it would be made available to people in East Africa and all over the world, and that it would outlast us. We wanted it to outlast our time here.
Okay, Taylor. So I just want you to see, this is done, we use this because we are working downtown with women who, this is part of their culture. This is what they do anyway. And so that is what we as missionaries seek to do in any culture, is to learn their worldview, learn their habits, why they do what they do, and try to figure out a way to appropriately share the gospel in a way that's more easy to receive by them. So, as you can see, someone put together this design to be able to share this conglomeration of story about the story from creation all the way to Christ. And you could see the pieces at the top where it showed the individual elements of the story, but let's go through it real quickly and you'll get the idea. As you start here putting the henna on, the person, and maybe a second person, is telling the story. So as it's being drawn, the second person is elaborating. Here you see the elements that represent man and God, mankind and God. Mankind was created in the image of God, so they look similar, and God called that good. The next one. Then after the first elements are drawn, they go on to the second one, and they're explaining the whole time about what happened when God had a relationship with mankind and walked with them in the garden, but mankind decided to go their own way and not do what God told them was the right way to live. And because of that, what happened? But sin separated man from God. And the next one? Then you start drawing the next part and telling about how God sent his son Jesus, and that Jesus lived a life to share about God, and he gave his life to save us from sin. And that 3 days later, Jesus rose from the dead. And then that the final element gives you the opportunity to share that, yeah, we all have sin, but we can choose to turn from that sin, and that Jesus will give us eternal life. And then you've got the whole thing. Okay, now here is the neat part. What have they got on their arm for 2 weeks?
The gospel.
The gospel on their arm for 2 weeks. Now, it doesn't get better than that.
So I know not everyone's keen on this kind of thing, but when you're dealing with a culture and it's part of their culture, this is fantastic. So pray for those people who have this opportunity to share, and the women who go around wearing the gospel and other stories.
Yeah. You know, the symbols there, you go, well, how does that relate to that? You know, they just picked something, and then they just said, you know, this just symbolizes man. And then the fruit, that's pretty obvious, huh? You know, some people, it's not an apple, it's fruit. But the fruit there, you know, it's like, with, you know, they took and ate of the fruit. That showed their rebellion. And, you know, it takes time. It's quite elaborate, these. And so it takes time. So the story, telling the story, takes longer than what Deanne just did. And they can tell a lot of other parts of it. And they're dialoguing and asking questions. So this whole thing is just a good opportunity just to have a good discussion about spiritual things.
Yeah, and if you've got several people, we made it like a party. Oh, invite your friends on this afternoon after the English class, and we're going to have a party. And so how many times do they get to hear it while it's being done? So it's really good.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, we do what we do because that's what God wants us to do. And it just so happened that He called us to go to Africa. But for each and every one of us in this room, God has called us. God's called us to salvation. God's called us. If you're born again, then He's called you to serve Him in whatever capacity. But also He's called you to a situation, whatever it is. You may be in school still. You may be a minister here in the church. You may be a school teacher. You may, whatever type of employment you have. That's the situation God's put you in. And you're able to serve the Lord and to honor Him in all these ways we've talked about, just by being able and being that sower of the seed, as we said this morning. So just want to encourage you in that. You know, in Luke 18 or 19, verse 10, after Jesus met Zacchaeus and he was converted, you know, Jesus said, "The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." That's why Jesus came. And that's what we're all about as well. And all of us should be about that. So we just want to just pause now and just see if anyone has any questions, that maybe anything you saw piqued your interest. Yeah, Steve.
I know there's a tremendous number of Chinese workers scattered throughout Africa. Is there a ministry that's attempting to engage with them, because it would be a lot easier to catch them in Africa than in China?
That's right.
Yes, for sure. There are, I think that last statistics I saw, there are 500,000 in South Africa alone. There are millions in Africa. A lot, and also India. From India, a lot of Indians, both Muslim and Hindu. They came back in the 1800s, building the railroads, and they stayed. A lot of them are shop owners and everything. But yeah, all of these we're targeting, and there are ministries specifically targeting Chinese. But let me just tell you, China, there are so many churches in China, and they're going. They're reaching the world. In September of last year, we had a conference, and it was African leaders of Baptist conventions all over Africa, and there were leaders from China and South Korea. South Korea as well. Millions and millions of believers that our missionaries have been able to win to the Lord, you know, decades ago. But these are now sending people globally. And they're coming to Africa, and we want them to come. So we had this conference to learn each other's culture, but also to network. How can we work together? China, especially, they're inviting a lot of African young people to come to China, and they give them free education, free university education. So thousands upon thousands. So we're trying to teach the Chinese how to reach Africans, because you got different cultures, so different understanding in that way. And also, Chinese and Asians and Africans haven't always gotten along real well. So trying to get that as well. So yes, it's happening, and we're trying to integrate that as well, because they're a force. Brazil, Brazil, we've had missionaries over 100 years down there. They send 1,000 international missionaries. That's the Brazilian Baptist Convention, 1,000. So it's the world, what used to be the harvest field, what used to be the mission field, now they are the mission force. They're the ones going, and they're outpacing America and the West. And that's the trend, which is exciting to me, because now we're seeing that type of thing happen.
And really, that's the whole philosophy that we've worked with for a decade anyway, is not just with other ethnic groups, but in general, when we're training people to be thinking on 2 Timothy 2:2, you know, the things you've heard from me in the company of many witnesses, hand over to teach to reliable men who will also teach others. That's what we should always be doing, not thinking of the one in front of me, but how are they? How can we train that one in such a way that they can turn around and train the next one and think of how they're going to train the next one? Yeah. And that works with all that.
Amen. Any other question before we wrap up? All right. Well, we want to just share a few prayer requests. So, Deanne, you want to share any personal ones?
Well, I'll praise all our kids are out of college. Woohoo! thank you, Jesus. And they're all doing well. They all love Jesus. Those are several big praises. You know, when we first went to Africa, you just say, are you taking your kids with you? Or, you know, are they going to be okay over there? But God has really proven himself to be so faithful, and they're all doing well. Of course, my parents, you're well aware of my mom and dad, and they miss being with you. They're doing okay. We're just trusting the Lord day by day as he walks with us and before us with mom and her Alzheimer's. We are both working here in America, doing the same jobs from here. Wade's traveling a lot, and I'm reading all those apprentice reports and replying and having Skype calls and all that good stuff from here. So pray for us to be able to balance our time to make sure that we don't let it consume our time here when we need to be about other things here too.
That's right. Yeah, with the ministry, it is. We're doing our jobs. It's not like we're taking a break while we're here in America. And I will be traveling at the end of the month, going back to Africa for 2.5 weeks for a couple of meetings. So just travel mercies as well. Pray for us in that way as well that we can. We just can have good balance. And also, you know, I guess ultimately, you know, we can be busy about the Lord's work without being intimate with the Lord. So just pray for us in our hearts that we stay in tune with him and intimate with the Lord day by day as well. All right. We have our prayer cards. They're up here on the table. So we'd love for you to get one. And we would just ask you, if you get one, just say, hey, that means I'm going to be praying for Wade and Deanne. Pray for Deanne even harder because she is married to me. Amen. All right. Let's stand together and we'll just pray and be dismissed. And, you know, if the Lord's spoken to your heart in any way, just come grab one of these leaders here in the church and come talk to us. We'd love to just talk to you more about missions even. Let's pray together. Father, we praise you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for this church, Lord, how wonderful it is. And we just are so grateful for Oak Grove and over all of these 25 years where they have been the anchor here, the one holding the rope here at home, and just really supporting us through prayer, through financial giving, Lord, as they give to us, but also to Cooperative Program and Lottie Moon Christmas Offering. Lord, this church is just so important to us, and we just are so grateful, Lord, to you to see how they have been faithful in all things. Now, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us, Lord, that you would constantly be pricking our hearts about how we can better serve you in and through our lives. Lord, even tomorrow, this week, I pray that you would give us opportunities to be able to share with people and just to love on people in the name of Jesus. And go with us tonight and keep us safe. And Lord, may we always keep our eyes very clearly and concentratedly focused upon you. We praise you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray and ask all of this. Amen and amen. Amen. Amen.